1 John 3, verse 1, these words, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." And our subject this morning is knowing and judging. Knowing and judging. Well, we come to these words before us this morning in the first letter of the Apostle John. This is the Apostle John, the disciple John, who walked with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who saw his miracles with his own eyes, who heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ with his own ears, and even at the very beginning of this letter, he writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." Right at the beginning of this letter, John is testifying that he is an eyewitness, that he has walked with the Lord. He has seen him, he has heard him, he has even handled him. And in the gospel according to John, we learn that, John is the disciple whom Jesus loved. The Lord himself seemed to have a special regard, a particular esteem for this apostle, the apostle John. So we can know with great certainty that this man, John the apostle, he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew the Lord in a very special way. And of course, well, this is a glorious thing which he knows and which he acknowledges. But here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, the apostle is actually making a statement about those who do not know the Lord, those who do not know the Lord. At the end of verse 1, "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." The world does not know Christian people, and I'll speak about that in a few seconds. Why does it not know Christian people? Well, because it does not know God himself. Speaking of the world, "The world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." The world, the unbelieving world. That's what the Apostle John is talking about. And well, isn't it the case that we live in an unbelieving world, a world that is full of unbelief, a world that is full of atheism, a world that does not know God, that does not know about the gospel, that does not know much about the Christian faith? These things are increasingly being rejected. These things, well, they're no longer being taught in the schools about God, about the Bible. I know a friend of mine who works in a school in the Midlands, and he's the head of English, and he tells me very often that he's so often amazed at the number of children who have never heard of the Bible. And because they've never heard of the Bible, they of course have never heard of God. They've never heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they know nothing about the gospel. This is a world that knows not God. And of course it is a world in which people don't want to know God. They don't want to know God. You start speaking to somebody about God and you note their reaction. They don't really want to listen. They get uncomfortable. They want to run away. Well, that's the nature of man. This is what the Bible teaches us about men. We do not want God. We do not want to know him. We are rebels against God. We want to run as far away from God as we possibly can. We want to throw him off and forget all about him. That is the nature of man. And that nature, that rebellious nature, that sinful nature, well, we see it very much in the world around us at the present time. You try and speak to people about God, they just don't want to know. They don't want to know God at all. And well, the Apostle John, he mentions about the Lord's people, in the same way that people don't want to know God, well, people so often, they don't want to know us as the Lord's people. And they so often judge us. They are so quick to judge us. Have you noticed that? If you say to somebody, I'm a Christian, well, you can almost see how they are judging you. They, well, think that you are perhaps somebody who's not very intelligent. This person, he's a Christian. That means he's of low intellect. He's not very educated. He doesn't understand much about life and about the world. He's somebody who I don't need to spend much time with at all. He's uneducated, and perhaps even worse, he's insane. He's lost his grip on reality. He's a little bit mad. He's a Christian, you see. They don't know us at all. They don't actually know who we are, but they're very quick to pass judgment upon us. And this is part of what the Apostle John is saying. They pass judgment even though they do not know us. They don't know the Lord's people, but are these Christians? They're uneducated, they're bigoted, they're misogynist, they're racist. The world judges us even though it does not know us. And this is what the Apostle John is pointing out here. They judge us without knowing us. And of course, well, they even have the audacity, the daring to judge God himself, to judge the character of God himself. This is what John is saying here. The world passes judgment on God. We have all these celebrity atheists nowadays. Have you seen them? The celebrity atheists, people like Richard Dawkins and the like. And what do? They continually and consistently pass judgment on God. They don't know God at all. They don't know God, but they sit and pass judgment on God. Oh, God is not good. That's what they say. God is not great. God is an oppressive God. God is a cruel God. God sends people to hell. God is unloving and unkind. That is what these atheists say. But dear friends, as I've already mentioned, how dare they do this? They don't know God. And well, how can they pass judgment if they don't know God at all? Why? Wouldn't you be outraged if somebody were to pass judgment on you and they did not know you at all? If I, for example, were to pass judgment on you and I didn't know you, if I were to go around saying to everybody who I know, that person, well, he's a cruel person, that person is a wicked person, that person really isn't worth getting to know at all, and I didn't know you at all, wouldn't you be outraged? Wouldn't you say to yourself, that person has no right to judge me because he doesn't know me? Wouldn't you say that? Well, yes, of course you would say that. And you'd be right in saying that. But is that the way you treat God? Am I speaking to anybody here you've done this? You've passed judgment on God, but you don't even know God. You can't do that, dear friends. If you are to have any opinion on God or any opinion on anyone, you at least ought to get to know them first. Otherwise, you have no basis for your judgment. Your judgment is incorrect. You have to get to know somebody before you can form an opinion, an idea about them. So my invitation to you, God's invitation to you today, is come and know him and then make your judgment. Don't make your judgment about God without knowing who he is. That is foolish. That is inaccurate. Come and know God. Come and know him. And then you will have the right judgment, the right idea concerning him. And this really is at the heart of John's thinking here And this is what I would like to spend some time thinking about. Thinking about knowing God. Well, it's an amazing thing that we can know God. We can know God. Many people think, and I used to think this myself when I was an unbeliever, I used to say to myself, well, if there is a God, surely it's impossible to know who he is, what he is like. Surely that's an impossible task. But well, it is possible to know what God is like. God has made himself known through the Bible, through the Word of God. What do you think of the Bible? Do you think it's simply an old book? Simply an old book full of old stories, old religious tales? No, dear friends, this Bible is far greater than that. It's the way to know God. It is God revealing himself to us. It's not just a book full of old stories. God is speaking to us through his word. This is not the word of men. We read continually in the Old Testament, thus saith the Lord. Not a man saying, oh, this is what I think, or this is my opinion on a certain idea. You don't read that in the Bible. You always read in the Bible, this is what God says. Thus saith the Lord. This is the word of God. And isn't it true that we learn so much about somebody by what that person says, by how that person speaks? This is how you get to know somebody. What do they say? How do they speak? How do they communicate? That's how we know what a person is like. And this is how we know what God is like. God is speaking to us through his word. If you never read the Bible, you will never truly know God. And so this is why the Bible is so precious. This is why the Bible is so important. It's not just a book. It's God revealing himself to us. It's the way to know the only true and living God. Thus saith the Lord. We read it so many times in the Old Testament. This is the word of God. And then in the New Testament, well, then we read of God speaking to us through his Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus. I like to ask people when we're witnessing, what do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who do you think he is? That gets people thinking. Some people, of course, well, they just think that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was just an ordinary man. Nobody to get too concerned about. He's just an ordinary man. Perhaps, well, perhaps he could pull off some magic tricks. Perhaps he was a magician of some kind to perform certain miracles. Perhaps he was a revolutionary. He caused a revolution of sorts in Jerusalem. Perhaps he was just a revolutionary. Perhaps he was just a prophet. Many people think that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's just a prophet. And well, in fact, in the Gospel according to Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? What are people saying about me? And well, the disciples said that, well, people think you're another prophet. You're just like Elijah. You're just like Jeremiah. You're just another prophet. And then the Lord Jesus Christ turned to them, turned to the disciples and said, but whom say ye that I am? You, the disciples, you who actually know me, you know me. Who do you say that I am? And remember what Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, they knew who he was. They knew him. And they knew that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's not just an ordinary man. He's not a magician or a revolutionary. He is God himself. God with us. That was how Christ was prophesied. God would send a savior. God would send a Messiah, the Christ. This is him, the one who was prophesied of old time, God with us. He is God, manifest in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity, equal with the Father, This is who he is. And dear friends, we must know him as such, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And well, we can know the Lord Jesus Christ even now. The Lord Jesus Christ is not just a historical figure. You know this so well. He's not just a historical figure, somebody who lived and died in a period of history. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ lived 2,000 years ago in the Middle East. Yes, he died on the cross, but he rose again. He rose from the grave, and he has ascended up on high. He is with God in heaven at the right hand of the Father. He lives, so we can still know him. We can still have a relationship with him. You can't say that of any other historical figure. They've lived, they've died. You can't have a relationship with them now, but you can have a relationship with Christ, our Savior, with the living God. He lives. You can know him. And so this is what we exhort people to do. Know the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's possible. You can know him, you can seek him, you can find him, you can pray to him. You can know his salvation. You can know his love. You see, this is what we enter into when we have a relationship with the living God. When you know God, when you have that relationship with him, what type of relationship is it? It's a loving relationship. It's a loving relationship. You know, the people who we know the best are normally the people we love. You think of the people you know the best in your life. They are the ones you love the most. Your family, your friends, your children. You know them best because you love them the most. People you hate, well, you don't really know them. Hate pushes people apart. If you don't like somebody, well, there's a distance between you. You never really get to know them. But if you love somebody, love brings people together. Love, well, leads to intimate knowledge of the other person. And this is what we have when we enter into a relationship with God. It's a loving relationship. And this is a glorious thing. He calls us to a relationship of love. Well, look at these words in verse 1 of chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. God loves all those who enter into a relationship with him. But how do we know that God loves us? How do we know that God loves us? Again, when I'm out witnessing, this is a question I like to ask of people from other religions. Other religions, other gods. Well, I often ask them, how do you know that your God, the God of your religion, how do you know that your God loves you? How do you know that? Does your God love you? Does your religion even speak of love? How do you know that your God loves you? They often find it very hard to answer that. And well, of course, the question comes back to us. How do we know that our God loves us? Well, that's very easy to answer. We know that God loves us because he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer and to die for us on Calvary's cross, because Christ died. And we read this, well, in this very chapter. Look at verse 16, for example, and there are many verses we could turn to in this book. Verse 16 of chapter 3, hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we know that God loves us. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Why? Because he laid down his life for us. This is how we know that God loves us. Because God himself, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he laid down his life for us. He died for us. Why did he die for us? Well, he died for our sins. Do you know about sin? Sadly, in this day and age, in this society, there are so many people who don't even know what sin is. What even is sin, Pastor? You talk about it all the time. Give us a definition of what sin is. Well, there's a definition right here in this chapter. Look at verse 4. All these questions we need to answer at times, and I hope this is helpful to you this morning. What is sin? Look at verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. That's the definition of sin. The transgression, the violation, the breaking of the law. This is what sin is. Well, what law are we breaking when we sin? What law do we break? It's the law of God. The law of God, not the law of the land. Some people tell you, well, I've never been in trouble with the law. I've never been in trouble with the police. I've never been in prison. So therefore, I'm a good person. But dear friends, it's the law of God that we will be judged by. The law of God that governs every single man. The Ten Commandments, that's what we read in Exodus chapter 20. And well, when we break those laws, and we've all broken those laws, we've been looking at the series in our midweek Bible study. When we break those laws, there are consequences. Of course there are. If you break the law of the land, if you break the law of men, well, aren't there consequences? Doesn't the weight of the law come down upon you? Don't you have to pay a fine or go to prison or serve some other sentence? For the law of men, when you break the law of men, well, how much more for the law of God? When we lie, when we steal, when we lust, when we covet, when we put other things before God, we are breaking a law, and there are consequences for breaking the law. God is a just God, so therefore there are consequences. But this is why the Lord sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. This is why God sent his only begotten Son to take upon himself the consequences for our sin, to take upon himself the punishment for our sin. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ has come, and that is what he did on Calvary's cross. He suffered and died for us. The punishment for sin is death, and that is what Christ suffered on the cross. He suffered physical death, but that wasn't his greatest agony. He suffered a spiritual death. That was the greater agony, the agony of soul, the being forsaken of God. That was his greatest agony on the cross of Calvary. On the cross, he said to the Father, Lord, punish me instead of them. I will take their eternal punishment. I will suffer their hell. And that's what he did. Out of love for us, this is how we know that God loves us. We may not know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us. He hung and suffered there. You see, to know God is to know his love. And to know his love, you must know the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that he died for you. If you don't know any of these things, well, then you don't know God at all. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Come, dear friends, come and know the Lord. This is my exhortation this morning, my simple exhortation. I hope I've made it very clear. Come and know the Lord. Those of you who don't know the Lord, why do you not know the Lord? Do you think that your life will be diminished because you come to Christ? Do you believe that, well, if you come to the Lord Jesus, your life will be somehow inferior, dear friends, that is so inaccurate. You only believe that because you don't actually know God for yourself. Come and know God, and you will see how he replaces all your shallowness and all your emptiness and all your corruption and all your sin. He replaces all those things with true joy, true pleasures. Come and see, come and get to know the Lord, and you will know all those things in your life. Do you think, and I say this so often, well, that the Christian life is not for you? There are many people like this. God will receive everybody else, but not me. I'm too sinful. I'm too wicked. I'm too unspiritual. I've left it too late. Is that what you think? Dear friends, come to God. You only believe that because you don't know him. If you only knew him, if you only knew his mercy, his grace, how he receives everyone who comes to him, no matter how vile they are, if you only knew him, you would come. Go to the Lord, pray to him, confess your sin, show him your wickedness, and he will forgive you. Come, and you will know that glorious blessing and that glorious salvation. Don't dismiss God, don't judge God without knowing him first. And dear friends, well, there is a promise included in these verses, and I close with this. The Apostle John writes, verse 1 and 2, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Well, what is John saying here? Well, he's saying that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will come back, and we will be like him, and we will be with him forever. That's the promise. You see, when you know God, when you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you will know him forever, forever. This is a relationship that will never end. We've known many relationships in our lives that have started and then they have ended. Perhaps relationships that you thought would last a long time, relationships that you thought would last your whole life through, but they didn't. They were so short-lived. And they cost you many tears and much grief. That's not like the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that you have with him, you will know him forever. Nothing, nobody will ever be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the promise. Christ is going to come again, says John, and we will be with him forever. This is the only relationship that is eternal. Dear friends, I hope I have persuaded you. I hope, even despite my feeble efforts, you will not dismiss God. You will seek him. You will desire to know him and love him, because God is love, and all those who know him will know his love and mercy forever. Well, dear friends, these are just some of the meditations upon this verse. May the Lord bless these things to each and every one of us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, how we thank thee that thou art the God who may be known. O Lord, make thyself known to each and every one of us. May we each one seek thee, that we may know thy love and thy mercy and that salvation that is to be found in Christ Jesus our Lord. May it not be said of any one of us that we have dismissed thee, that we have turned away from thee without knowing thee at all. O dear Lord God, come and bless, we pray. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. Well, dear friends, let us sing together our final hymn this morning. It's hymn number 216. Hymn number 216, if you're using the hymn book. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Gracious Father in heaven, Lord, be pleased to lead each and every one of us to Christ, to know him, to love him, to know the riches of his grace and that glorious eternal salvation. Bless us, we pray, and gather souls into the kingdom. Even this day, we ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.